glad that you're able to be here. We could understand you more this year than last year. So maybe next year we'll be able to understand you completely. And we're happy that you're younger than 50 years old. See, because all of us gray heads around here, and there are a lot of us, okay, it's about like running a 440 race. It's divided down into 110-yard segments, okay, and you run four laps. Well, a lot of us are getting close to the end of the fourth lap, okay, but that doesn't make any difference concerning God, okay, because what God has for us is so great that it's very difficult for us to comprehend it. That's why we don't. Okay, now we're going to have a special service this morning. So if you turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, please. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Now in the Bible, in the original order, it's close to the book of Revelation. 1 Timothy, not 2nd, beg your pardon. 1 Timothy 3. Okay. I thank everyone who gave me the correction. Okay. Now you see, just like Andrew said, God will provide. And God, as we will see later in the sermon, is doing fantastic things to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. So likewise, in each one's lives and in serving the brethren, God makes it evident that there are men in serving the brethren who need to be ordained as elders and as deacons. So let's read it here in 1 Timothy 3. Faithful is the saying, if a man desires to be an overseer. Now an overseer is much like a coach. The coach instructs the team on what they need to do to win the game, right? Okay? And we have our instruction book, don't we? And the general manager is God the Father, and the executive manager is Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. Okay? So, what we are to do as elders is this. Read the Bible, teach them the Word of God, know it's true, teach the brethren what they need to know, and God provides the Spirit to bring it all together so we learn. And this is how God does things. Okay? He desires a good work. And I'm sure you're going to find out it's a work. Interesting, as we discussed yesterday, when you look at the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, he doesn't judge them by their faith. He judges them by their works, because their works reflect their faith. Okay, so it's work. Now then, it is obligatory that the overseer be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober-minded, respectable, hospitable, skilled in teaching, not given to much wine, not greedy for selfish gain, but kind, not quarrelsome, not a quarreler, nor a lover of money, one who rules his own household well, having his children in subjection with all respect. For if a man does not know how to rule his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he become conceited and fall into the same condemnation as the devil. It is mandatory that he also have a good report from those who are outside the church, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So it also tells us that we, those of us, in general, all of us, were to be strong in the Lord and resist the devil, that is true, but especially for those who are elders and deacons. We must be faithful in everything. Now, we're also going to have ordination of two deacons. So let's read this. In the same way also, the deacons who serve must be serious-minded, not hypocritical, not given to much wine, not greedy for selfish gain, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Let those who meet the qualifications also be proved first. Then let them be appointed to serve if they be found to be blameless. Then it also talks about their wives, so forth. Let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their household well. Those who have served well acquire to themselves a good standing and much confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So then Paul says, he's writing these things, he's going to try and come to him shortly. Now here we are, how many hundreds of years removed from that, and the Church of God still goes on. There are occasions, however, that God deals with many people in many different situations. Remember when the church first started, they thought it would be all just to the Jews because the kingdom was to Israel. And then God revealed to Peter, who went to Antioch, here there were a lot of people believing that they never expected to believe. Now, we're coming to Pentecost pretty quickly. That pictures the resurrection. I think we're all in for a great surprise, okay? Because the apostles died in faith, not knowing how long it would be. And true to what Jesus said, the gates of the grave would never prevail against the church, and it hasn't. Now, there have been many attacks, but there's always been the faithful ones to stand for God. And so this is what we need to look for and see the fruits and know that things will be in good hands. Okay? Now, if these men will come forward, please. Thomas Fannin grew up in the church. We're going to ordain him as an elder. Would you please come forward? And then we will have two deacons, Mike Flake and Ernest Fletcher for deacons. Okay? So we'll take care of Tom first, and then when we're done, two come up. So if Marlon, and this is really a wonderful thing for his father, and a tribute to how he raised his family. And Roger Kendall, you'll come forward, please. Let's come right here. Father in heaven, we come to you now thankful for your graciousness, your mercy, your truth. Thank you for working in Tom's life. Thank you for that he has been raised by his father, Marlon, and set a wonderful example through the years that he has been born into the church and raised in the truth. And now, Father, this is a great and wonderful time to have Tom ordained as an elder to continue serving your people. So we ask your particular blessing upon him and the blessing of his father as we lay hands on him to ordain him as an elder.
Almighty God, we thank you, Father. As mentioned, that Tom was born and raised in the church and had a certain for 30 years now as a baptized member and the last few years serving as a deacon, but he's always served since his teenage years. So we just thank you, Father, that he could be set apart now to this office as elder. We just ask, Father, that you would give him the wisdom and more of your spirit that he needs in dealing and loving and working with your people, that you would give him the patience and the knowledge, Father, of your word, that he could better teach them and instruct them. So, Father, you gave him to us, and we all belong to you. So we thank you for working his life and his wife's life, and Father, that now that he can be set apart and ordained as an elder into your church. And Father, we just thank you for him. We ask that you would help him in all of these things and guide him each and every day. And we ask these things, and Father, just ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, just continue to bless them with knowledge of your word and your truth and insight to be able to inspire and help the brethren and cause them to continually seek you. So we commit them into your hands now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Steve, if you come forward. Mike. Father in heaven, we just come to you now to ordain into the office of deacon Mike Flake, and he likewise has been in your church for years and years and years with his mother and father being in the church. We thank you for him. We thank you for your service, and he's been serving the brethren in Indianapolis with Steve Durham. So we'll ask him to finish the ordination.
Father in heaven, we come before your throne with Jesus Christ's right hand. We certainly are very thankful for the service of this young, for this individual who's been in the church since a young age. And Mike has been very diligent in his service, and he's grown quite a bit. And we ask for your special blessing on him, that he would continue, and that you would give him the gifts that he needs to continue to grow and serve, and that you would be with him, help him in discernment with the Holy Spirit, and just fill him full of your Spirit to continue to serve you. Thank you very much for him when we need him, and thank you for his service. Amen.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
I'll work very hard.
Okay. Ernie, where art thou? Go ahead, Mark.
Almighty great God, we do thank you, Father, for Ernie Bird, and we know that, Father, he's been a servant for many, many years in your church and different locations throughout Cincinnati, helping them, Father, with any way he can, or any way he could, especially helping them with their automobiles, having the talent and training there to do the mechanical needs and repairs. And Father, he's just been willing to help any way he can. So he has been doing the job of an office of deacon, so we just come before you now to just ask you to set him apart, to give him the knowledge and understanding he needs of your word. The Father, be able to give him discernment, be able to give him the love that he needs for the brethren, for each other, and patience that he needs, that we all need, as, Father, we deal with one another. So we come before you now, Father, and set him apart to the office of deacon, and, Father, to be with him and his wife, helping them each and every day as they go about their work and as they go about serving the brethren. So we just commend him into this office that you have set aside in your word, and we ordain him as a deacon, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So I strained my hip about a week ago. That's what it sounded like. Help! So I have to be on a cane for a while. I'll be about another 2 or 3 weeks. Other than that, I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting older, but hopefully I'm going to get younger. Okay? All right. Everything on? Everything ready to go? Okay. Now, I've been reading the book, Big Agenda, President Trump's Plan to Save America, David Horowitz. Okay? Very interesting book. Now, he must be doing a lot of things right, because the whole political system is against him. And I do think that he has been put there by God, because there is more time for the things that need to be done, because it's not yet God's time to send Christ back to the earth, because he has a bigger agenda. If Donald Trump thinks his agenda is big, what about God's agenda? Okay? Now let's come to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And we're going to read something very interesting and ask the question, how will this be done? Now, one time it was said, when they had a circulation of 8 million a month on the Plain Truth, that was a warning to the world. Really? And it would quote the scripture here, verse 14, Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world. Now circle all, okay? All the world for a witness to all nations. Circle all again. Is the word of God true? Yes. Does God mean all nations? Yes. That means each and every one. How is that going to be done? And is the church the main vehicle to do it, or is God the main vehicle to do it? This is a big work that requires more than the little flock. Okay? Come here to Mark 13, verse 10. Mark 13 and verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. The church has never done that because it requires more resources than the church has. Now, since translating the Bible, you are familiar with William Tyndale, okay? He was the first one to translate the Bible from the original Greek and Hebrew into English. Who's been publishing the Bible? The church or other people that God is dealing with? See, God does not exclusively work with his church for many of the things that are necessary to accomplish his will. That doesn't mean they're called to salvation, but that means they're called to do a work that God has for them to do. The work of the church is to perfect the brethren. Yes, we are to preach the gospel to the world. But how can we preach the gospel to the world unless they first get the word? So first, had to have the Old Testament completed. How many years did that take? Centuries. Next, he had to have the New Testament preserved. And of course, the apostles didn't have a clue what they were going to do. Eh? Now, come to Acts, the first chapter. You've heard me cover this before. But you see, there are things which are prophecies that God is going to fulfill. Now, how far did the original 12 apostles go? By foot, donkey, horse, or boat? How many people did they reach? Very few. So obviously, what Jesus told them here in Acts, the first chapter, was a prophecy. Do you think they had a clue as to what it was? No. Remember, the most knowledge that they had during the whole ministry of Christ was when? The 40 days after the resurrection of Christ, when he opened their mind to the Word of God, right? See? Because when you start reading the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, to understand the prophecies of Christ, how are you going to know some that are not obvious but apply to Christ unless your mind is open? Okay? Now, same way with every one of us, right? Remember the day when you were studying the Bible and the light went on? You said, oh, that's what that means. Yes. But you had the Bible first, right? Okay. Now notice how far it's going to go. So he told them, let's pick it up here in verse 6. So then when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And it doesn't matter what a person may think. What did Jesus say about knowing when he was going to return? Well, you find the scripture in the Bible which says it'll be around 2,000 years. Not there. Because here's why. Verse 7. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. So when is Christ returning? When the Father says, it's time to go, son. Not until. And Jesus further said, no man knows. And while he was on the earth, he said, not even the Son. Because there are variable factors that you find in the book of Revelation, which then shows no one can know the day or the hour. And in many cases, how many times have we selected the year? Did it happen? No. Because God has a bigger agenda to do first. Let's read it. But you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And now notice this little phrase at the end. And unto the ends of the earth. Now how far is that? And what does that include? And will the church do it? Or will the church follow what Christ is doing after Christ has done it? All right? Now, let's go on. Remember when Paul came to Corinth? He went into the synagogue and preached for quite a while. Finally, Timothy and one of the others came to him. And then they had a knockdown, drag-out. You talk about a real Sabbath, boy. You know, have you ever seen where the politicians are fighting in the legislature? That's what I think that synagogue battle was about. They had a knockdown, drag-out because he preached Christ. And here he was in Corinth. And he prayed and said, oh, Lord, I don't have a microphone. I don't have an outlet. I don't have electricity. I don't have... No, he didn't. How many people did he reach? How many people were in the synagogue? And of course, Paul was rejected wherever he went. He was ready to leave Corinth. Then God appeared to him in the night and said, you stay here because I have many people in this city. Now think about that. Did Paul have a clue as to who they were? No. But he said, I have many people. Why? Who does the calling? God. How does he do it? By those who are seeking God. Remember the account of Cornelius, the centurion, an Italian? He was there during the time of Jesus preaching, during the time of the beginning of the church. Did the apostles know anything about Cornelius? No. He was friendly to the Jews. He even had a little prayer place where he went and prayed to God. So what happened? God sent an angel and said, Cornelius, I want you to go to Simon Tanner's house and you will find Peter. And he will come and tell you everything that I want you to know. Well, you know the rest of the story. Okay? What was the first thing that Peter said right after Cornelius bowed down to him and said, Hallelujah, the first pope is here? He didn't. He said, I'm a man like you, and God has shown me that no man is common or unclean because God is no respecter of persons. Bang! What a revelation to the Jews. And the Jews have not gotten over it since then. To this day. Okay. What did God tell Elijah? He got all scared after the 150 prophets of Baal were killed. God answered his prayer in a great miracle. And it was told him, be careful. Jezebel's out to get you. She's going to get you. He said, oh, I got to get away. I got to run away. So he ran down to the mountain down there and crawled in the cave and said, oh, I'm alone, just me. So God didn't appear in the earthquake. God didn't appear in the wind. God appeared in a still, small voice and said, Elijah, get over it. I've got 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Did he know a single one of them? No. Who was doing that work? God. How does God do it? Well, God has seven eyes called the seven spirits of God. That's how God starts it. Remember, God is, come back here to Revelation, the first chapter. Okay? Remember, God says he's a heart-knowing God of every human being on earth if he needs to. And he knows when a sparrow falls. So you see, just because we don't see God, just because we don't have the, how shall we say, ability to see what God is doing, because that is all on a spiritual level, and Jesus Christ is directing it. Okay. Verse 4. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. And of course, that was a projection clear down to our age. Grace and peace be to you. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about grace and peace in the afternoon. Okay. From him who wasn't, who is and who was and who is to come. And notice, from the seven spirits that are before his throne, which chapter 5 says are the eyes of the Lord, going to all the earth. Now, how does that work? I don't know. That's under the control of God. But it says in First Chronicles chapter 15, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through the earth, seeking those who are seeking him. Okay? How did God know about Cornelius? Because he heard his prayer and he was seeking him, and one of the seven eyes came back and said, Lord, look at this. So God sent an angel and said, go get Peter. See? Now let's talk about how God is going to go to the whole world. Okay? It's going to be an amazing thing, and it is happening right now. But we got to take a break first, and when we come back, we'll get the rest of the story.